The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel as written to us by Luke. The rulers sneered at Jesus, and they said, "He saved others, let him save himself, if he is the chosen one, the Christ of God." Even the soldiers jeered at him, and as they approached to offer him wine, they called out, "If you are indeed King of the Jews, save yourself." Above him, there was an inscription that read, "This is the King of the Jews." Now one of the criminals hanging there reviled Jesus, saying, "Are you not the Christ? Save yourself and us." The other, however, rebuking him, said in reply, "Do you have no fear of God? For you are subject to the same condemnation. And indeed, we have been condemned justly, for the sentence we received corresponds to our crimes. But this man has done nothing criminal." And then Jesus said, and then he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And he replied, "And I say to you, this very day, you will be with me in paradise." This is good news from the Lord. So we end the church year by this solemn proclamation that the Christ is the King of the universe, not just of the world, not just of our planet, but of the whole of creation. It's a strong affirmation. And the sad thing is, I don't think most Christians believe it. They believe that he did a little work here on this planet to save people from Adam and Eve's sin, but any kind of universal message that applies since the beginning of time, usually not. And yet, you heard Aurelia read that lovely second reading. It's one of my favorites. Let me read a few lines to you. "He delivered him from the power of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his Son." And then he goes on to describe this kingdom, which is far beyond all the kingdoms of this world, which is why it's so much strange to speak of Christ the King, because he never claimed that title in this world. Because he knew it implied something smaller than what he was talking about. "In him were created all things in heaven and on earth, the visible and the invisible. He is before all things. In him all things hold together. He is the beginning. He is the firstborn from the dead." We're talking big stuff here. We're talking about the Christ being something, frankly, this is going to be my next book, so I'm probably too prepared to talk about it, something much bigger than Jesus. This is something since the beginning of time. This is a philosophical, theological, metaphysical statement about the nature of the Christ. "In him, all fullness is pleased to dwell." So God, when God decided to reveal God's self, when God decided to become visible, that's the moment of the birth of the Christ. We now call it the Big Bang. And it happened 13.6 billion years ago. God didn't decide to start talking just 2,000 years ago. All those people born before Jesus were not just throwaway people waiting for Catholics to appear. You do know that, don't you? God loved the Stone Age people. God loved the Persians and the Babylonians and the Africans. Who else were they? The children of God. So I'm trying to stretch out your boundaries so you can recognize what a radical statement we're making when we say Christ is the King of the universe, the firstborn of all creation, as they put it. Now, the smaller kingdoms of this world is what we're more familiar with. And if it's any consolation, it might be a consolation to some of you after the last election, but there's not a single good king in the Bible. Not a single king is good. They're all jerks, really. The ones you're more familiar with are Herod. And yet the entire biblical revelation takes place underneath bad leaders. The assumption is they're always corrupt. I'm not saying that's always true, but that's certainly the biblical assumption. They're always corrupt. And inside of that, we have to learn how to live in a different kingdom with a different freedom. That's the message. And I think we Americans were never given that biblical message because we always had the assumption, well, our kings are good kings. Maybe, maybe not. And so what we see here in this gospel, this last proclamation of the kingship of Christ, we have Jesus showing how far his kingship moves out. In this most concrete and beautiful story of a man who, it's revealed in the text, rightly deserves punishment. I don't know what his crime was. We usually call him the bad thief. We don't really know if he was a thief, but he did something bad. Probably wasn't very bad at all. They just wanted to get rid of him. And what does Jesus say? You know, there's no sign that he joined the Catholic Church. There's no indication that he went to confession. There's no sign that he made his first Holy Communion or was baptized. I'm sorry to have to tell you this, but it's in the text, right? And Jesus turns to him with one act of open-heartedness and says, "This very day you will be with me in paradise." You know, this mystery of salvation might be much simpler than we've often made it. But we were told to belong to smaller kingdoms, which by necessity, even the Catholic kingdom or the Methodist kingdom or the Lutheran kingdom or the Evangelical kingdom, to hold those kingdoms together, you do need all kind of little protocols and agreements and good manners. You all are obeying the good manners now. You're sitting there and listening to me, which is good. It makes for good community. But, you know, the coming into the universal kingdom, the kingdom of Christ, is probably so simple that it's easy for us to miss it. It's basically about opening your heart. Now, that might sound real simple, but in fact, for almost all of us, as we've seen in this, let's be honest, this terrible last year in America. How low people on either side of the debate can talk and can relate to one another. We see how hard it is for even Christian people to keep their heart space open. All you got to do is get them into an argument. All you got to do is divide into two groups and everybody chooses sides and condemns the other side. Brothers and sisters, this level of community is not community at all. This level of conversation is going to make, frankly, America impossible. And either we find that we live in a larger kingdom and are not pulled in to these small conversations where one man is totally right and another person is totally wrong, I don't think we will ever reach the stature of Jesus. This man who in the last minutes of his life is surely suffering unbearable pain himself, has been himself unjustly accused and is being unjustly killed, and he has his heart space so open that he can care about this poor little thief to his right. This is a new universe. This is a different world. And this, those of you who are coming for confirmation tonight, this is the kingdom that you are being confirmed in. Don't accept any smaller kingship. except the universal kingship, which is bigger than the Catholic Church, which is bigger than the United States of America, which is bigger than Anglo culture or Hispanic culture. How many of us have really learned to be at home there? That's the kingship of Christ.